Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
First Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. How many of you have ever asked, why me? How many of us? Now, you better be honest, because I'll have an altar service later and you'll have to repent. So, how many of us, one more time, have ever asked, why me? My hand, both of my hands are up. Because I have asked that question more than once. I'm telling you the truth. Have you not? Have you not, Brother Jeff? Have you never asked the question, why me? Huh, Brother Jack? Why me? Now, folks, that's just common. I mean, that's just human nature. And God knows us. So whether you said it out loud or you said it in your heart, it really didn't make any difference, because God heard you. God knows your heart. He read it. He knows what's going on there. I want to come at this, why me, from a different perspective this morning. I'm going to come at it from the end rather than the beginning. The end is, why not you? Why not you? Instead of why me, why not you? And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, beloved, I love the way Peter talks. He just pulls us in. He calls us brethren. He calls us beloved. I love that. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now the Amplified Bible reads this way, beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, and in parentheses, strange meaning unusual and alien to you and your position, were befalling you. The contemporary English version says, dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked that you are going through testing that is like walking through fire. Now, am I talking to anybody here this morning? Is this word for anybody here this morning? I think it's for me. I think it's for this church. And if you're a part of this church, surely it must be for you. And therefore, I believe, instead of asking, why me, we need to ask, why not me? Why not me? But this morning, I want to sort of encourage you as well. I don't want to just bark at you, you know. And if you are asking for yourself, individually, why me, God? Because something has happened and caused you to feel somehow you've been singled out. Perhaps you feel that God must be punishing you for some reason. Why else would this be happening to you? Be assured, you are not alone. God has not abandoned you, and He has not singled you out, no matter how you're feeling right now. You may feel as low as a snake's belly, but I'm telling you, God knows exactly where you are. He's not singled you out to punish you in any way, shape, or form. Whatever you're going through, God's promise is that He will see you through, can you say amen? And give you strength. He will give you strength, and He will give you direction that you need. God wants you to know that He understands how you feel. You say, that's easy for you to say, Jim. God wants you to know that He understands how you feel. He knows more about your situation than you do. And He saw it coming before you did. Now, above all, He began to work on His resolution for you before you even knew to ask. Amen? The reality here is this. God is for you. God is not against you. You are His child. You are the apple of His eye. And He loves you dearly as a father. Just coming from our messages on Father's Day, I hope you will tie it in. Why not you? Testing, trials, tribulations, persecutions. We're going to talk about that for at least the next two Sundays, because I have disciplined myself to not put so much into a message that I can't possibly deliver it in one term. So I'm breaking it up. Don't you feel good about that? I feel good about that. Testing, first of all, testing and trials. Fact number one that you need to get. Testing and trials are a fact of life. Testing and trials are a fact of life. We need to know that. When we ask, why me? We need to understand that God says, why not you? Because it's a fact of life. Testing and trials are a fact of life. Peter states the case in a rather matter-of-fact way when he says, beloved, think it not strange. Beloved, don't be surprised. Don't be overwhelmed. This is not an alien thing. So then, testing and trials are a fact of life. And we need to know that because Jesus told us very plainly in John 16:33. Look at it. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I would like to preach that be of good cheer. And I am going to go there later. What does it mean that He has overcome the world? What does that mean to us? Why is He encouraging us that way? Well, that's for another message. The point here is that Jesus told us it was coming. It was going to happen. It's a fact of life. We could talk about all kinds of reasons that it's a fact. We could say it's because we're not of this world. We're of His kingdom. We could say it's because we're different. We're special. We're peculiar people. We could say we stand out in a crowd. We could say it's because we want to live holy and righteous in a world that seems to be going the exact opposite way. We could say all kinds of things there. But I'm just really wanting you to get this point. It's a fact of life. Whether you're saved or not, testings and trials are going to come your way. If you have belabored under the misconception, whether saved or unsaved, that you were going to have a life of ease, let me give you a wake-up call. That isn't normal. Normal is there will be stress. Normal is there will be difficulties. And once you become a Christian, somebody may have told you, just, buddy, become a Christian and everything will be smooth sailing from there on out. How many of you found that to be true? I have peace, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be tested and tried. It doesn't mean there's not going to be difficulty just because I become a Christian. It does mean that I have someone who's right in there with me, which I didn't have before, Brother Jeff. I've got God in here with me. He's promised me that He would be yoked with me in this adventure of life. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I believe we were very close to this in our Bible study the Wednesday night. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Look at this with me. I want you to understand that it is not a trial of you. It is a trial of your faith. Are you with me? It is not a trial of you. It is a trial of your faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Read it with me. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is not trying to get to you and sort of get at you or do something to you. God's not against you. He's for you. This is a trial of your faith. And I want to lay that foundation for you this morning, because we're going to build on this in the next week or so. Quit taking it personal. Hello. God's not out against you. How many of you have ever felt that God just somehow was, oh man, God, give me a break here. Have you ever said that? Can I not catch a break somewhere in this thing? It just keeps coming, wave after wave after wave. Somebody's, remember, God is not out to get you. God is for you. It's not personal, all right? It's not like God is going to try and do something to you, Jeff. We take things personal. Listen to me. In this walk of faith, there are going to be times when things happen to you from people real close to you that hurt you. Now, they may do it intentionally, or they may not do it intentionally. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, don't take it personal. The minute you start taking it personal, you start losing your perspective on God's will for your life. Are you hearing me? The minute you start taking it personal, you start to lose your perspective on God's will for your life. And from there on, you're going to single out that person or that people or that event or that situation, and you're going to take everything that comes from it as it's being directed at your person. God's not directing things at your person. You say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor, but them dingbats over there, they're throwing bricks at me. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Just move right on in faith and say, God, I can use these bricks to build me a house with. Amen? Listen, he who throws dirt at you must realize he is losing ground. So, the trial of your faith. Second, you need to know this concerning testing and trials as a fact of life, that they are common to mankind. I got a scripture for this. I'm a good Protestant preacher. I'm even a Pentecostal preacher. We got a scripture for everything. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This scripture has been abused tremendously by Christians. When we go there, you'll see what I mean. Because I have heard Christians quote this repeatedly when they're in a tight spot. When they're under the testing and trial, when they're in a difficult place, they'll go grab this scripture. And I guess it brings them some peace, and that's okay for that. But let's look at this scripture closely this morning, because I used to use this scripture as an escape mechanism. And God brought me up short and said, Jim, read it again, all of it, and pay attention this time to my Holy Spirit. There hath no temptation, right, test, trial, whatever, taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. Oh, I know you thought you were special. I know that you thought you'd been singled out for some great and noble test, as in Job or somebody. I hate to burst your bubble, But honey, you ain't the first one to go through it, and you won't be the last. There are a lot of people experiencing what you're experiencing, and worse. So there's nothing that's happened to you and I that isn't common to man. It's not common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Does God allow us to be tempted and tested and tried? Ooh, we better not go there just yet. This is too early in the message to go that far. Let's hold off on that for just a little bit. But you can think about it. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I guarantee you, you be honest with me this morning. Those of you that are here in the sanctuary and those of you that are down there in Florida listening to the podcast, you be honest with me this morning. How many times have you read that scripture and you only looked at the last verse, the last phrase? That was all that you were interested in. God will make a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. And we have prayed, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to get us out of it until He's ready to get us out of it. That doesn't mean that we can't run. And I've done that too. And I use this verse to do it. If you're using this verse to run, I want you to stop running, turn around, sit down, and listen. Because God is your deliverer, not you. Trust Him. Listen to Him. But Jim, be reasonable. How long? As long as God says. That's how long. Amazing. We don't like to wait on God. We think we got to help God out. You ever done that, Jeff? I have. I felt like at times, God, you're not moving fast enough. You're not really on the ball here. You're not really getting the picture. So, hey, I'm going to help you out. Every time I have helped God out, I have made a mess of it. Every time. Every time without exception. Why? Because I don't know all the facts. I don't know everything. I only see a tiny piece of the puzzle. It would be nice if God gave each one of us unlimited knowledge and wisdom, omniscience. And we could see the future in its totality, but we only get tiny bits and pieces. Why? Because we are dependent on one another as the body of Christ. He made us a body. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. I've got it all, man. I got five fingers here. I can grab things. Hand, you can't grab things. But just let that hand try to move from here to the back door without the foot. It can't do it. So it is with the body of Christ. Listen, church, until the church of Jesus Christ comes to realize that we need one another and that as a corollary to that, we also are equally, individually responsible to maintain this body. Until we come to that, we're going to be fragmented. We're going to have little sectarian groups that get off to the side to themselves and don't fellowship with the rest of the body and get their revelations from God and try to direct the rest of the body. But that's not the way God designed the body. God designed the body to function as a body. Amen. You know? I'm not going to receive instruction from you if I don't know you. And if the only time I know you is on Sunday morning, I don't know you at all. We need these men's fellowships. We need these women's fellowships. We need these prayer meetings. We need these times of instruction and teaching where we can share and not just listen to a sermon. We need to interact with one another. We need to get to know one another. And I thank God for Sonny and Sam and their vision for men's ministry. It's doing a great thing in this church. I thank God for Victoria opening her home to a fellowship over the 4th of July weekend. Folks, we need more of that kind of activity where we meet one another beyond these four walls. So then, it's two things, isn't it? It's Jesus told us that it's a fact of life. Paul said it's common to man. So not only are testing and trials a fact of life, but major point number two, for those who are taking notes, we need to understand that God will test us. Now hold on. Don't throw no bricks. Don't throw no rocks. Don't give up your faith. Stay with me. God will test us. But His testings are different than those of man. He's not testing you to see if you can make the grade. That's not a point of His testing. He's not going to give you an A, B, C, or D, sonny. He's not going to rate you that way. That is not the purpose of the testing at all. I'm going to tell you what it is, but it's a little later in the message. The first reason that God tests us, according to Psalm 26 and verse number 2, is that we ask Him to. He said, what do you mean we? Who you got in your pocket? We. We, Kimosabe. We ask Him to. You don't believe me, do you? Read Psalm 26 and verse number 2 and see if it hasn't been a part of your prayer life. See if it hasn't occurred in some of the hymns and songs that you have sung. And then tell me that you didn't ask Him to test and try you. Look at it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If that's not asking God to try me, I don't know what is. I could give you more scriptures to go along with that, but I think you could search them out on your own. All you'd have to do is open the book of Psalms and start reading, because it's full of them. Have you never said to God, have you ever arrived at a place of maturity in God where you said, God, I realize you know my heart better than I. God, I realize that you know what is best for me a whole lot more than I. If you've never arrived at that place of maturity, you haven't prayed enough. Because I assure you, when you pray to God and you worship God, the closer you get to God, the more you realize how little you know. The more you are drawn to Him. I like the second part of this. Not only did we ask Him, but God said He would do it. God said, I'll answer that prayer. Look at the history of Israel, for example. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I like the New American Standard Version of that. It says, I, the Lord, search, that is, examine the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Examine, test, deeds. Think about it. God is so concerned about us doing His will that He will look into our heart and see if we really do want to do His will. How many times have we sang songs that talk about doing His will? When our heart, we really have a different idea. God doesn't just listen to our lips. You know, you can't bargain with Him. You can't negotiate with Him when it comes to His will and His word. He don't budge. We think we can. God, I know You said, but the biggest error of all time committed by Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, don't. They said, yeah, but I think. And set us on a path of ruin, the whole human race. We are guilty of that. We are. But God, search my heart. Does my heart line up with what You want? Because why? Because God's ways are above our ways. They're past finding out. God's will for us, though, is not past finding out. If it was so difficult to know God's will, we would be lost. But it isn't. I want to tell you that knowing God's will is the simplest thing. Let me show you how to know God's will. Because I get this all the time. How can I know God's will? The way to know God's will is to reduce it to the simplest common denominator. We complicate God's will to no end by mixing in our own thoughts, desires, ambitions, etc. Reduce it to the lowest common denominator. God, what is the primary, what is the basic number one thing You want from me regarding Your will? What is that? Anybody, what is that? Obedience? Yes, sir. We could use another word. Faithfulness. 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 And then from there, it becomes rather easy, church. Faithfulness to His Word, which involves obedience, doesn't it? Faithfulness to His church. I mean, if you just stopped at faithfulness to His Word, I could tell you so many things from the Word of God that is the will of God for you that it would keep you busy for the next 10 years just doing those. No, so many times we want to do some high and noble and glorious deed. And yet, the truth be known, the greatest impact on the kingdom of God was made by people who just did the simplest of things. Faithfully. Faithfully. I'm here today because there was a handful of people in a little old church in New Mexico that refused to give up. There wasn't more than 30 of them. But bless God, they loved the Lord and they were faithful to their church. They were faithful to support their church with the tithe. Somebody say amen. If you're not tithing, you're sinning. If you're sinning, guess what? Your prayers are going unanswered. Let me say it again. If you're not tithing, you're sinning. And if you're sinning, your prayers... You said you wanted to know the will of God? Oh, God, give me a revelation. Well, here it is. Remember, I said reduce it to the lowest common denominator. Oh, God, I'll go to India for You. Will you pay your tithes? Well, God. Well, God. God, use me in some great advisory capacity. Would you be willing to clean the bathrooms in the church? Well, but God... Would you be willing to cut hair for nothing? Well, what would you do for God? Oh, but Jim, come on. I want to be used of God. sure you do. But Billy Graham's already got that position. He don't need another Billy Graham. He needs a you. Planted, watered, and growing. Fruitful. Right where you are, James. Right here. Christian Outreach Center. You know how many times I've wanted to resign this church? Do you have any idea how many times I have resigned? I have almost written out the letter. Oh, gee, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Listen, I overcame a lot of inhibitions a long time ago, and I've learned to be transparent with people. I'm just going to tell you what I think and how I feel to the extent that the Holy Spirit will allow me that I don't have to repent for. Every pastor that would be honest with you would tell you, if he's been at a church any length of time at all, that he has resigned many Monday mornings. Why? Because Monday mornings are the pits for pastors. You have preached your heart out. You are wrung out. And Monday morning, you feel like such a failure. Don't ever make a decision. If you're in ministry on Sunday, don't ever make a decision on Monday as to what you're going to do. Here's a New Testament scripture for you concerning God telling us that He will test us. He will do it as we've asked. John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, if you know the story, Philip, or one of the disciples, said, "It would take way more money to feed these people than we've got." And Jesus, the Bible says here in John, Jesus said this to Philip to test him. For He, that is Jesus Himself, knew what He would do. Jeff, when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prompted you to step out from your job and go into the ministry, He was testing you. Jack, when God prompted you to move out into the healing ministry, He was testing you. If you'll go back in your mind and remember, both of you, you said to God, "No, God, are you sure? Because you know this involves a whole lot of money, time, sacrifice, etc., etc." You laid it all out for God as though God did not know. Right? Every one of you. Every one of you. Me included. When God called me in the ministry, I said, "Yes, I understand your feelings, God. But I'm afraid you've made a mistake. That must have been the brother behind me. Because you see, God, I'm not really interested. I don't want to be a preacher. Got no desire to go there." Little did I know that my little beloved wife had prayed many, many, many years ago to God to bring her a husband who would be a preacher. So, youngsters, you should talk. You really should. I tell youth this all the time. You had better tell that young man or that young woman the truth about the call of God on your life. Because if you think you're fooling anybody, you are wrong. God will come back on you later and ask you to give account for for the anointings and the giftings that He has put in you. You can go your way for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years thinking that God has forgotten all about it. And He'll come up on you and He'll say, "Remember when you were 10 years old, I spoke to you. You remember? You better tell that beau, that Fraulein, the truth. You better tell them God's got a call on my life. You better tell them I feel called of God. Am I preaching right, Sam? Am I telling the truth, Sonny? Am I telling the truth? Debbie, am I telling the truth?" Be honest up front in that relationship, because I guarantee you down the road it's going to cause you problems if you don't in that marriage. "Well, my battery died. That means it's time to quit." See, I have a perfect signal here. When the battery quits, I quit. It only lasts 30 minutes. I don't know why. Probably need a new battery, but I don't care. I ask myself and I ask God, "God, if I were sitting in a pew listening to this message this morning, what would I do with it? If I were facing some serious testing and trial in my life, if I were really serious about doing God's will, if I hungered and thirsted after God, and I felt God stirring in me and directing me and leading me, and I was scared, what would I do? What would I do?" See, God is testing you right now, every one of us, individually and collectively. He's testing us. He's testing us collectively to see if we will be that habitation of God that He's searching for. He's testing us individually to see not if we are going to make the grade. I'm going to say this later, so I might as well say it now, and you can chew on it and think about it. The testing is more for you than God. Here it is. Think of the story of Job. Answer this question. Concerning the testing of Job, whose idea was it? Was it Job's idea? Did Job go to God and say, "God, I'm just such a great servant of yours and so full of joy, and I'm just tiptoeing through the tulips here, and this Christian walk is just so easy. How about a test, God? Give me a test." Did Job do that? Mm-mm. No. Nobody but a fool would do that, right? Secondly, was it Satan's idea? Did Satan look at Job and say, "I'm going to test that dude. I'm going to get him"? Whose idea was it? Bingo. It was God's idea. Now this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. You remember when your dad used to tell you, "Son, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you"? And you said, "I don't think so." God said to Satan, when Satan came before him, He said to Satan, up to this point, Satan didn't even know that Job existed, because Satan's not omniscient. He said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is upright and righteous and perfect in all of his ways." And God allowed Satan to afflict Job, test him and try him, take his family, take his possession, take his health. And through it all, Job remained steadfast, immovable. He had questions, rightly so, but he remained faithful to God. He asked God, "Why? Why me? God, what did I ever do?" God never answered that question. You check it out. God never answered that question. All God ever said was, in essence, "Job, my ways are not your ways." So then, that brings us to this point. Whatever we are going through individually and collectively, does God, is it caught God unawares? No. God knew before we ever arrived at this point that we would arrive here. He knew what each and every one of us would do before we even knew ourselves. He knows right now what you're going to do. What He wants from you is to know what He wants you to do. He wants you to search out His will and do His will. So in other words, the test and the trial is for you, not for God. You say, well, if He knows I'm going to pass the test already, what's the point? It's for you to know. It's for you to grow and mature. If I were facing, and I am, and you are, facing some tests and trials right now, what is the one thing that I would do? And this is it. I would seek God for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because, beloved, everything else being equal, that is the one thing that I can in no wise obtain on my own abilities or whatever. I'm going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to see me through this, Sam. Have we been saved long enough to realize that? I'm going to need supernatural, divine assistance to get through this. How many of us know that? Let's see the show of hands. How many of us know that? That's where we are. We can do a lot of things of our own abilities. And thank God we can. But to do God's perfect will in the New Testament fashion is going to require enablement, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. That being true, I'm going to invite you to start this little journey with me in learning about testing and trials. Because I'm going to invite you to start this little journey this morning with asking God to give us an endowment of power of the Holy Spirit that will extend beyond this sanctuary, beyond these four walls. That when we're out there by ourselves and there's no preacher and there's no Randy leading worship and there's no padded pews, and it's the cold, hard, bare facts of life staring us in the face, that we can have the same confidence that we have right here, right now. That's what I want. And so I'm going to invite you to join me down here as Randy leads us in worship. And I want to pray for you. I don't know every single detail of everything you're going through. I don't need to know. I believe that God, I know God knows. And I'm going to pray for you that God will enable you. He will empower you. And I believe this is real, church. I don't believe this is just mind games. I believe this is real. I believe you're going to see it happen in your life. I believe you're going to see that power, that enablement manifest in your life. And you're going to remember back, yes, I asked God, and here it is. So, Randy, lead us in a song. Those who want, come on down. Join me down here.